I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The universe's final creation. Let me start by saying I'm breaching my contract by sharing this. If the company's lookouts link this post to me, which they will, I'll be disgraced, and any chance of getting a job in this profession again will be out of the picture. I have the common sense to keep my name unknown, but all that's gonna do is slow them down. Keeping this hidden would be a crime against humanity of the highest order. You all deserve to know, as terrible as it is. I work at an unnamed technological research company as, you guessed it, a researcher. In recent years, we've made astonishing advancements in developing technology that could interact with and harness tachyons. Tachyons are particles that travel faster than light. That's the most important part. They've been a subject of theoretical physics since the late 60s, but as far as public knowledge goes, they're still just that. Theoretical. But they are most certainly real. Well, not tachyons per se, though their behavior is equatable. I won't bore you with the technicalities, but the result of a particle traveling faster than light is that said particle is able to, effectively, travel backwards in time. My other group members and I have been experimenting with these particles for the best part of 2 years now. We've made major advances, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. Yesterday, March 23rd, 2023, at 9:07 a.m., my equipment detected a tachyon signal. This was in the morning, mind you, and no tests had been yet carried out. From what I could tell, this signal originated, or rather, will originate, from elsewhere. Playing it out loud, it at first just sounded like a garbled mess of frequencies. But after observing the audio structure, I found it to be made up of thousands of tones, of which there was only two types: long and short. The realization hit pretty quick. It was Morse code, or at least, it could be interpreted as such. The most fundamental form of digital communication known to man. So I ran it through an auto interpreter a few times and got a fully coherent message. I refuse to believe that I'm seeing patterns where there are none. The chances are so astronomically low that I can't feasibly consider it to be a random signal, especially considering I've never received one from somewhere outside the lab. I'm going to copy over the translation here. I don't wish to instill panic, but please, spread this post. People need to be aware that this is a real possibility. To whoever is reading this, prepare yourself. Here it is. Hi. My name is Tim Hermel. Before I write down this account, I should insist that this is the truth. This is happening to us all right now. This is not a joke, prank, or an interactive project. This is the truth. You have to believe what you are about to read. Okay, with that out of the way. Shit, it's getting closer. I'll write down what I can before we're pulled back to the city to join the others. I hope enough context is given in my account for you to fully understand. I lived in the great city of Farides, the utopia of humanity's future. Life was amazing. Every aspect brought joy and satisfaction to every person. No hunger, thirst, or overpopulation, pollution. A nirvana if there ever was. The level of advancement may be difficult for some of you to believe. Work was optional, and automations would fill the spaces left by those choosing to pursue their own personal dreams. Even so, a large number of people here still choose to have jobs, vocations, I suppose. Healthcare was unparalleled, and not one person had died during my time here. Everything major was decided by a vote. It was the perfect democratic system, but I'm no politician, so I won't be able to explain to you why that is. Hell, we even had a collective vote to decide the next week's weather every Sunday. That's right, we had taken control of the weather. Want to splash around in puddles, smelling the petrichor? Maybe get a tan on? You just have to go and vote for it. Farides was, without hyperbole, fucking beautiful. In between the city blocks, there was great swaths of woodland and meadows. Crystal rivers flowed underneath silver bridges, and leaves of every color painted the landscape like polka dots. And the city itself, well, they say nature trumps anything man-made in terms of beauty, but I disagree. The intricately designed towers were ascended by all the most complementary colors: gold, chrome, red, blue, any combination you could imagine. It was here. Arches, spirals, and patterns of every variety adorned the structures. The day in question was a Wednesday. Not that days of the week held any particular significance anymore. I'd planned the meet with two of my buddies, Aaron and Tuan, at our favorite coffee shop a couple of districts over in the Wantania area. Historically, the journey may have been arduous or frustrating. Not now. Most people didn't even use vehicles anymore. Instead, the city had built a vast underground network of ever-shifting and rearranging tracks called Tubarith. Each person owned a personal pod of sorts, customizable to any degree. I input Wantania Central and hopped inside. My pod contained a sofa and a mini fridge, stocked up with my favorite drinks. The journey was always snappy. Each time, the underground superstructure would arrange a new and unique track to be used, direct to a reserved bay. Just 15 minutes later, I stood under the vaulted, ornamental expanse of the station's roof, 100 or so feet above. I always stopped here to just stare upwards for a moment, absorbing the imaginative architecture. After exiting the station, I was surprised to see that both Aaron and Tuan were already waiting for me outside. The good kind of surprised that slaps a goofy smile onto your face. "Took you long enough," Tuan chuckled, finding the irony in his own words hilarious. "God, I know, right?" said Aaron. "I was worried I needed crutches after standing out here waiting." Well, you're not gonna like this next part, I joked, and we set off down the street laughing. Our favorite cafe was called Beansmith's Forge. It was a cheesy but enduring name, and the theme fit the three of us like a glove. As I said before, we had been working on world building for our fantasy RPG, an immersive Neuralink VR experience, where the player could
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Design their own character and have a unique quest line auto-generated out of a complex system. We ordered brunch and, of course, coffee. I won't get into the details of our talks, but we quickly finished up, paid, and set off down Gerben Street. The more exciting event of the day was our secession booked at the aptly named Noji Box. Something you could call an anti-grav playground. Admittedly, I'd never fully known how it works. Just that it involved paired wormholes, immensely powerful electromagnetics, and a huge vacuum chamber. One thing I was always grateful for was that the automatons, who I saw working robotically throughout storefront windows, were withheld any accurate human likeliness. I'm sure you've heard of the Uncanny Valley, so you'll know what I mean. They fell just short of it. All was calm on the walk, as to be expected. We made it to the Noji Box in good time, 10 minutes before our session booking. I get it's company policy to take everyone through the safety basics, but it was admittedly a little boring after many, many past visits. The only real requirement was that you'd have to wear an osteopathic suit. No, osteostatic. Something about keeping your bones from floating away from each other or from disappearing over time. We were suited up, ready to enter SS Slamdown, when a sudden tremor shook the building's foundations. Everyone shared the same puzzled expression. Not once had something like this ever happened in Faraday's. The staff looked a bit stumped at first. I guess they never had to deal with a situation like this in the past. To our dismay, but surprisingly, our session was canceled, and we were told that they would call us later to sort out a rebooking. I had the strangest feeling when we left and began back down the road. Something similar to deja vu, but not quite. Like nostalgia, but without the accompanying feeling of reminiscence or joy. Trying to brush it off, I distracted my mind by humming a tune. I didn't know what it was from at the time, but I knew it was a stringed melody. A violin? Thing is, I wasn't really humming it as much as hearing it in my head. We rounded a corner, and Aaron paused in surprise. Oh, that's Jermaine! He's been playing that fiddle the street over from mine for the past, 2 weeks? Come on, let's go listen. I grew confused when we approached, only to hear the exact same melody that had just been looping in my head. Before I heard this guy playing. I don't remember stumbling upon this particular street performer before this point. We stood listening for a few minutes, then continued our walk. Thoughts no longer infested with that tune, I was hit with what I could only describe as a taste. The savory taste of something on my tongue, complete with mustard and relish. meat of some kind? The concerns started to flourish when we came upon a food truck, and Tuan asked if we were hungry. Sure, we had just eaten at the coffee shop, but I could fit in one more tasty bite. He offered the pay, which we gladly accepted, and he returned with hot dogs, with mustard and relish. My gratitude masked the ever-growing confusion within me. Was this just a weird coincidence or something else? Did I know we were going to get hot dogs? We wound up back at the station, where a feeling of detached sorrow welled up inside me, something you might feel after recalling a bad memory from which you've since recovered. I understood then that I would run into my on-good-terms ex inside. But before we could enter, another rumbling tremor swept across the street, followed by the clamor of destruction and screams from inside. A gray dust cloud plumbed out from the entrance, sweeping us off of our feet. I saw Aaron flip-faced first into the pavement, just as I caught my heel on the base of a stop sign. Yet another quake boomed underneath the asphalt. The asphalt I was falling down into, but the impact didn't come. Instead of a hard surface, the sensation of falling went on. You know that feeling when you think there's another step at the bottom of the stairs, only to find the floor instead? It was just like that. The ground I fell upon wasn't asphalt. It rang out as I collided, almost hollow sounding, metallic. Maybe it was just my head ringing, but without a doubt, I was not in the street anymore. I sat up and my palms confirmed I was on a metal floor, the kind with those diamond-shaped grips. Looking around almost caused a complete sensory overload immediately. A multitude of flashing lights, screens, wires, buttons, and all sorts decorated the room. It looked not far away from the control room of some intelligence agency, at least how they depict it in movies. I got onto one knee and pivoted to look around. The tall man standing directly behind me almost led to a second fall, but instead, I scooted backwards frantically at the sight. The man, well, I say man, but this person didn't really have any distinguishing features. They were wearing a spotless black and white cloak of some kind, and a metal cage covering their upper half of their face, so that only their mouth was visible. They stood still, not reacting to my show of surprise, then spoke in the most androgynous voice conceivable.
"How did you get in here?"
I scanned the room, finding that there was no obvious entrances anywhere around, like we were inside a closed-off box.
I fell over and, next thing I know, here," I stuttered.
"Well, you shouldn't be here, and there's no way that you should be able to get here."
I stood up, feeling a little comfortable in the presence of the stranger, though not letting my guard down entirely. Now I could see the pictures displayed across the screens. They seemed to be feeds of countless locations and fairies, streets, woodlands, you name it.
What the hell's going on here? Who are you? Why are you spying on the city?"
The stranger didn't seem amused, being pelted with questions and held up a hand, gesturing me to stop. They let out a deep, held breath.
"Well, since you're here, I may as well enlighten you. Take a seat."
So I did. I sat in shock and disbelief for the next 5 minutes as the person answered all my questions, even the ones I didn't know I wanted to ask. They simply introduced themselves simply as administrator, but I chose admin to avoid the mouthful. Admin proceeded to tell me the truth, as casually as one would talk about the weather. It wasn't real. A simulation. They told me we were inside a highly advanced, self-sustaining supercomputer pod traveling through deep space, harvesting energy from eons extracted from the surrounding vacuum. Over 100 trillion years ago, those living here now consented in having their consciousness imported to the device. On top of the eon harvesting, power was supposedly generated from emotions experienced by a consciousness. The more intense an emotion or feeling, the more power generated. I interrupted the monologue at this point with the question they hadn't seemed to consider. Let's say I believe in what you're saying. If this system's been up for as long as you say, why did I just have my 29th birthday? What, 2 months back now?
I understand your concern, but allow me to continue. Every 50 years, it is reset. All your memories are wiped and locked away until the moments when you would again make those memories. There are only a set number of people who were uploaded to the system, and their minds cannot simply be deleted if they were to die.
Not only assimilation, but an endless loop? My brain felt like it might burst. Wait, I said. If we're reset every time and everything plays out the same, then we can't possibly have any free will of our own, right?
I suppose you could say that, but the illusion I have worked tirelessly to maintain gives the impression that you do.
What? So the original me signed up for this? But I'm not him. I'm a copy, aren't I? Do I have a choice in this?
There's no way for me to erase any person that lives here. Only if the pod itself is damaged or destroyed can I, or anyone else, truly die. The great stellar extinction has come and gone, and all that remains outside is cold and dark. A handful of black and brown dwarfs and black holes, to my knowledge.
The sudden feeling of intense, hollow loneliness filled up my chest. We were alone in a great black sea of nothingness? My slack jaw must have told admin I didn't have the capacity to speak.
Over time, I have lost contact with the hundreds of thousands of other pods that were ejected from Earth all that time ago. Either they are too far now, or they met a destructive end. I can't say which is better anymore.
Absorbing the sudden truth, the emptiness evolved into anger. Let me get this straight. We're living our lives down here, our puppets to you? Is that right? Just an endless cycle of digital paradise kept in the dark of all that you just told me? How could you possibly justify this?
Calm down. Having your memories wiped is a luxury I can't afford. Anyways, that's only the preface of what I need to talk about. I'm sure you also noticed the tremors down there.
The tremors? Oh yeah. Sora ruined my plans, but I guess it doesn't matter now.
I didn't do anything. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Whatever the cause, it's not within this pod.
I took it all in. A system malfunction? Why did the admin feel the need to share this with me? Is that why maybe that I could predict some of the things that are happening afterwards?
It's worse than I thought. The memory suppression seems to be failing.
Both of us paused for a moment. The silence was deafening.
I've been taking readings on the external sensors. There's something out there. An object. It's been following us for a while now. But with no starlight left, I don't know what it is. Space debris couldn't move on its own accord like this thing is.
What are you trying to say? I sputtered, the dread I felt deepening by the second.
I'm saying that something has found us.
My blood ran cold. Found us? What could have found us? Didn't you say that all the stars are dead? The universe is just darkness now? What could have found us? What?
I wish I had the answers too. I don't think we're safe anymore. The most recent readings imply that whatever it is, it's latched onto the pod somehow. Possibly...
Admin was cut off by the loud screech of static from the speakers around the room. Their head shot up to the nearest corner in a manner that set me at a knife's edge. The tremors returned with a vengeance now, and the both of us were sent sprawling onto the floor. I didn't fall through it this time, though. Sparks flew and monitors went offline. I was about to ask what we should do when the roaring static settled and something else started to play. An innocent, childlike giggle, gurgled coos, infantile squeals of joy that pierced my eardrums like needles and left them ringing. Remembering the sounds that came from those speakers made my insides twist and yearn to escape my body, knowing what came next. The laughter grew, and so did the tremors. The room started to collapse, wires and boxes raining down upon us. Well, not really collapse, no, but change. The far wall crumbled, like something on the other side assailed it with forceful impacts, and the room began to shrink. As if that dark place wasn't claustrophobic enough, the ceiling, walls, everything began to close in on us. All the while, the childlike giggling only grew in joy. I thought we were going to be crushed and snapped by the pressure when we were abruptly freed. It had happened again, pushed through the floor and spat out somewhere else. This time, we found ourselves near a paved road leading out to one of the city's blocks into a green meadow which gave way to trees a ways down. Something was terribly wrong. Only brushing myself off and standing up did I become aware of the swirling darkness that replaced the once baby blue sky with its cotton candy clouds. A heavy and unsettling calm had fallen upon us, dampening the city's brilliance. No more did the sunlight gleam off the ornate spires and arches, replaced by a still, hanging shadow. The eerie quiet was shattered by that godforsaken crackling, booming across the landscape, despite not a speaker in sight, again followed by those ill-belonging coos and cries. Accompanying the infantile sputtering came an uproar of crackling and crumbling, great impacts from deep within the city's heart. Both Admin and I stared in disbelief as distant buildings sunk into the ground while others twisted and warped their way into the sky, as if made from soft clay. Some just disappeared entirely,
leaving not a shred of evidence behind that they had ever been there, while their former inhabitants plunged from stories above.
It's taken my place.
Those four impromptu words shook me to the core of my being. The god of this world had been usurped. But why? I found myself asking. With what motive? Admin went to reply, but stopped upon seeing the great pinkish masses floating up out of the streets far ahead. We stared in bewilderment, trying to make out what they were. The chorus of screams hurled us to the realization that the balls were... they were made of people. Agonized, howling faces littered the fleshly abominations, while more objects rose around them. Structural beams, signposts, metal objects of every kind gravitated towards the amalgams of humanity before their relentless assaults began. Ripping, tearing, stabbing, slicing. It was already too much for my mind to comprehend. It garnered no reaction from myself other than stunned shock. Flesh and blood spewed from the masses and orbited around them like the rings of Saturn, falling back in to haphazardly patch themselves back onto the wailing people. My thoughtless attention was redirected as a frantic deluge of citizens fled the city, running down the streets towards us. One by one, the exodus was halted, people seeming to stop in place abruptly, though the screams did not relent. I couldn't see what had stopped them until the crowd drew closer, where I saw an elderly man whip forward, foot stuck fast, instantly snapping his knee from the momentum. He let out a heart-wrenching cry as he fell down and looked to see what had stopped him. Something that looked like roots, water pipes maybe, had erupted through the tarmac and coiled their way up his leg. I could see the strength draining in his eyes as they stood him back upright by force, wrapping around his entire body. I watched in abject horror as he was raised off the ground, and each and every one of the old man's limbs were bent and snapped at unnatural angles, shattering frail bones into dust. His feeble cries were promptly silenced as a squirming metal tube forced its way inside his mouth, his eyes rolling back in unfathomable agony as the bulging mass forced its way down his throat, splitting his ribcage apart and allowing the organs within to slope out and float in the air as if weightless. The whole process seemed to reverse itself in time, then repeat over and over. I could only hear the echoes of Admin's shouts and the faint sensation of their grip on my forearm as they pulled me away from the mind-bending atrocity. My vacant body trembled backwards, sending both of us falling onto the grass. Still, I could only sit there, frozen. Somewhere off to the right, I saw a young woman pulling presumably her daughter along by the wrist, fleeing the hellscape of flesh and bone down the small alley. Her head spun wildly as she noticed the walls of the alleyway closing in around them. She burst out into the open, but was yanked back, her grip fast. She turned in desperation, only to see her daughter, who couldn't have been more than 7, being slowly crushed in a paste of bloody flesh and yellow fat. Her pitiful screams still ring in my ears, seeing her child suffer such a terrible fate. Admin was finally triumphant in breaking my trance, and I rushed to my feet, stumbling before gaining my footing and bolting the fuck out of there. The childish giggling echoed out over the sky only served to push me forward and away from that place. What the fuck is going on? I yelped, glancing over to admin, hoping that they could offer just the slightest of explanations.
I have no idea, but we need to get somewhere first. You see that hill through the woods, right over there?
Hill? To the observatory?
There's one last thing we could try to stop this. It's a shot in the dark, but I can't just stand here and fade away with the rest.
High-speed winds whipped the trees as we ran below them, leaves fluttering in a wild seizure. Air-splitting cracks sounded so loud my ears began to ring once more, and I looked over my shoulder to see what they could have been. Blazing sprouts of fire shot down the clouds behind, more akin to lightning than anything, striking the Forsaken with white-hot temperatures. Even from a distance, I could see skin and flesh melt off of bones like candle wax, forming spiraling clouds of organic vapor. In my distraction, I ran straight into a tree and tumbled over, blood leaking from a small cut on my forehead. Admin skidded to a stop and pulled me up to my feet and ran onwards, not waiting for a moment to ask if I was okay. Neither of us were okay. That was a given now. We reached the top of the hill without too much effort. Seems it was programmed for everyone to have an above-average level of fitness, young or old regardless. Admin frantically but methodically shifted through what appeared to be a large hoop of keys, searching for the one to fit the observatory's door. I looked back over to where we had fled from. The twisted buildings coiled towards the sky, gargantuan talons holding captive everyone I had ever known. But there was something else. Far behind the city, in the distant hills and woodland, a great black wave that spanned the horizon was traveling towards us, eviscerating the world itself. All it left behind was an endless chasm of darkness, defying reality itself. The tsunami came closer, before stopping at the city's outskirts, leaving only a towering earthen spear of suffering, flaming bolts cracking down upon it.
Admin, what is going on?
They paused for a moment, then continued working on the several locks barring our entry.
Do you remember what I told you earlier when you found me? How this system is able to keep on running over the trillions of years?
Eons?
Yes, but that's only the basis. I told you that emotional activity generates power, yes? The more intense an emotion, the more power generated.
What are you getting at?
This is pure theory, but I believe that whatever is out there is feeding off of the system.
Is that why all this was happening?
I stifled a gag, recalling the horrors fresh in my memory.
Again, this is a theory. I don't understand what it is.
If the constraints of the universe are loose enough for something to evolve in its endless darkness, to predate on the last sources of energy within it? I don't know, and I doubt we ever will.
I stared out at the hellscape, speechless. Finally, Admin found the right key, yanking the door open, and pulled me inside by the arm.
Hey!
Admin yelled, snapping their fingers.
I need you to be present for this. I am restricted in this world. I can't break and reform things like you can. It's fail-safe, for if the power were to go to my head... Follow my instructions exactly.
They told me how to break apart some of the technology in the observatory and rewire it into a different machine. I had no idea what we were creating at the time, but complied nonetheless. The finished product was a makeshift beacon of some kind, connected to the nearby terminal.
Thank you. Now, type.
Type what?
Everything that had happened. Add as many details as you can, because we won't have another chance to get this out there.
Okay. What is this thing? A radio?
In a way. The observatory is one of the only places here that has a connection to the outside. I have used it more than once to observe the universe fading away. This setup will send our transmission as a unique superliminal type of wave. Hurry, we can't waste time chatting about this.
And so here we are. I don't know who will be hearing this, if anyone at all. I beg of you, consider how our advancements might be our downfall. It's almost here. I could hear the flaming bolts striking the forest closer. This is my account. Please save us. Please spare us. Don't condemn us as you have. Transcript end. There it is. I've revised the transcript more times than I can count, and I'm sure there's no mistake here. Others reading imply that this message has traveled an unimaginably vast distance, and not only over space. Repeated triangulation only tells me that this came from above, somewhere far away among the stars. I could feel the edges of my mind singing. This can't be proven as truth, nor can it be discredited. There's no possible way to explain how this message came from our own planet. I'm trying to be rational, but I think we need to consider future development very carefully. As a people, we have always rushed through our technological advancements at an incredible speed, not stopping to consider all the consequences that might follow. If anyone will believe this, please spread it around. I have no doubt this post will be taken down the moment they find it. As for myself, I'll be disgraced, probably. Stuck in a cold cell, most likely. Spread the word. The fact that the higher-ups will attempt to conceal this is a cruel thing indeed, if any of it is true. Signing off.